Welcome to episode 88 of Frank Reactions, the podcast where we help you profit from the digital era through better customer experiences online and off. My name is Tema Frank. Today's interview is with Martin Girth, who is the Senior Manager of Customer Experience at Travelocity. You may recall that I mentioned him back in episode 85 when I did a recap of the Digital Customer Experience Conference, but I had also recorded a more in-depth interview with Martin because I was very interested in the fact that Travelocity has really focused its brand on customer experience, and that's something that it has clung to and worked hard to retain even after having been merged into a much larger entity like Expedia, got bought by Expedia. So they're still trying to keep that brand separate and very focused on customer experience. And so I thought it'd be very interesting for you to find out more about how they are approaching that within the larger organization. Because it was recorded at a conference, unfortunately, there is a lot of background noise. One of the things that I often find frustrating as a podcaster is it can be hard to find a quiet place to record. So I've done what I can to lessen the background noise, and I think it's still actually pretty okay to listen to. It just takes a little getting used to the sound. It's also a little bit longer, and again, as with the last couple of weeks' episode where my interview with ATB CEO Dave Mowat was split into two episodes, I debated whether to do that with this one, but decided to keep it as one episode. But I really value your opinions on that. Would you rather have, say, two 20-minute episodes or one 40-minute episode if I can't wrap everything up neatly in a 30-minute segment? Just a couple of quick little jargon alerts as well. He refers in there to an SLA, which is a service level agreement, and quite interesting that their organization has set some very clear requirements in terms of customer service and agreements for how things have to be dealt with and in what time frames. He also refers to SOX, or SOX, which stands for Sarbanes-Oxley, which was legislation passed by the United States government in 2002 in the wake of scandals like the Enron collapse. And it has a whole bunch of provisions to require stricter controls and financial disclosures. And at one point he talks about the impact that had on some of the things that they were doing with their call center operation and challenges when you outsource your call center operation to another country. So enjoy the interview, and I will chat with you briefly at the end.
Before the acquisition took place, we had this, we had a great customer base that was loyal. It was fiercely loyal. It was small, but it was fiercely loyal customer base. Why was that? Well, it wasn't our platform. It wasn't our web platform. Our web platform was, quite frankly, horrible. The booking platform was just grossly neglected. It was antiquated. It was old. Right. And the web experience itself was just bad. But with the acquisition, you got this best-in-class platform, booking platform with Expedia, who at that point I worked for. And then you had this organization that was known for service. I mean, they won the J.D. Power Service Award for travel the year before the acquisition, even with a horrible website. And so, you know, when you look at that, you're like, okay, well, we had this... We were known for service. Now we're in this space where we have this awesome website, but because of Expedia's economy of scale, we were, you know, forced into, hey, we have to use the outsource customer service model. You know, it's offshore. It's, you know, not the most awesome customer service, and you're sharing that with an agent pool for hotels.com, Expedia, you know, and Travelocity, and, you know, soon to be Orbitz, you know. And so when you look at that, you're like, geez, okay, well, how can we differentiate? So the main place that we, in kind of our brand Expedia group, when we came together and looked at multi-brand and that strategy moving forward, differentiation for Orbitz was air. Differentiation for Expedia was just the amount of properties, the scale, the brand name, you know, trusted travel provider. Differentiation for Travelocity, let's go back to our roots. Let's go back to service. Let's make that service experience amazing for the customer. And, you know, because we had that shared agent pool, we had to actually narrow down the scope of that a little bit and say, you know, the place that we're going to focus most on is social media customer service.
Okay.
We're going to we'll focus on the digital customer experience and how to connect and be where the customer is.
Right.
And our customers are on the go. They very rarely, and when you look at kind of the pain points across the customer lifecycle,
right,
you don't see huge pain points in advance of the travel.
Right.
You see it during travel.
Right.
You know, when your flight is delayed, when your hotel room is dirty, when you get to the hotel and they go, oh, we don't have your room.
Right.
You know, those are the experiences that are pain points that aren't even in our control. They're not in Travelocity's control.
Right.
They're in the supplier's control.
Yes.
But they have the biggest impact on the brand reputation.
Absolutely.
For Travelocity. And so when we looked at all of that, when we did quant study, qual studies, we went through and did just a massive amount of, you know, investigation into what our customers wanted. And the one thing they valued the most was, I want timely, you know, friendly, fast, you know, service when I need it the most, and that's when I'm in trip.
And you commented this morning that you didn't even used to have a 24/7 contact center.
We didn't have a 24/7. We had 24/7 customer support on the phone.
Okay.
But we did not have 24/7 social media.
Right.
We didn't have, you know, you might actually. You know, staffing was obviously going to be lower at certain times. I mean, we definitely looked at our staffing and kind of adjusted our levels as needed.
Yeah.
But, you know, if something happened, you know, a great example of this, only because I used to work on Expedia's crisis management team, was the Reykjavik volcano in Iceland.
Right.
And you can't account for the entire Eastern Seaboard being shut down in terms of air travel.
No.
You can't staff for that. You can't solicit enough overtime for that.
Right. So how did you deal with that?
But in that particular case, it was fly by the seat of our pants, you know, and pray, you know.
And hope
pray
that people understand this is not within our control.
Exactly. Hope the people, and you know, some did, some didn't, you know, that's the way of things. But but when it comes, you can't account for those types of issues that pop up. So what you need to do is, you know, and certainly not in the phone channel, but what you need to do is you need to be able to have every potential channel where a customer may try to reach out to you, whether that's, you know, in trip, obviously social media is the biggest one, or on our website via like WebRTC chat, you know, the real-time chat technologies. Looking at, we have what we call the customer first guarantee form, which is an actual web form, very simple. Once you get to it, you just type in, here's my itinerary number, short synopsis of what's going on. Am I post-trip, pre-trip, or in-trip?
Right.
Little drop-down, hit go. Okay. And what will end up happening is that gets to the same team that monitors our social media.
Right.
Same permissions.
Right.
That whole team is staffed at a tier 3 executive level support permission set.
Right.
So they can take care of whatever issue. They don't have to transfer the issue somewhere else because it's too difficult. They are trained in everything from working in the old green screen, you know, airline systems, and being able to reticket reservations and reissue tickets, to hotel relocations, to, you know, if they need to do some sort of a refund because, hey, you know, say we forgot to issue a ticket, or we, through a technology issue, didn't issue a ticket and it was totally our fault. We can prove that it's our fault. We're going to go ahead and take care of that. They're going to issue a split payment. They're going to go ahead and put, you know, part of it on our tab, part of it on the customer's tab, get it all taken care of and get the customer into the room.
So why can that be done with the social media staff and not with call center
staff? It's scale. It's honestly, right now, it's scale of economy with Expedia because we're using multiple brands all being supported by the same agents.
Right.
It is entire and offshore.
Right.
It is entirely too difficult to be able to isolate policies, isolate processes, change the way that the tier 1 customer service acts towards each brand. So what we've done is we took one channel where we knew we could actually have a dedicated agent pool.
Okay.
And build that dedicated agent pool that was totally funded through brand dollars.
Right.
We did it through brand. We took it out of brand marketing. And you know, I mean, the nice thing about that was...
It's justifiable.
It is. It, you know, if you're going to build brand differentiation,
yeah.
It's the same thing as putting a commercial.
Yeah,
you know, absolutely. It is absolutely the same thing. And in addition to taking it out of brand dollars, yeah. What we also did is we made commercials about it. You know,
right.
we took it and we have a commercial that I'll show tomorrow that says, you know, hey, because it's called canceled customers or delayed, actually, I think is what it's called. They customer going to the airport, they get there, big canceled across the screen. They tweet at Travelocity Help because we're available 24 hours a day, seven
right.
days a week via social
right.
media.
Right.
You're not going to have time to pull out your laptop and find a customer service number and
no.
sit on hold.
Right.
You know, pull out your phone, open up Twitter, at Travelocity to help. I need to be rebooked. Here's my itinerary.
Yeah.
You know.
And you made the comment on the panel today about the vast, that you were almost surprised by how many people preferred not to use phone.
Yep. In advance, our surveys, you know, it kind of ranged. It was like 75 to 86. And we're like, are you sure? You know, is this data accurate? You know,
yeah.
You start questioning data integrity. You know, that's one of the things that, that you start looking at, and you're like, well, we knew it was high. We just didn't think it was that high. Right? And so we're like, okay, well, let's implement. We'll see what happens. And then, so once we implemented, we actually started surveying customers after the interaction. So what would happen is, on the back of every interaction, social media, online or offline yeah. interaction, the agent actually sends a recap email. The customer.
Right.
That's something different that is not done mm-hmm. on the regular customer service side of things. It's a recap email from their tools that says, hey, you know, Mr. So-and-so, here's what we talked about. Here was the resolution. If this is incorrect or if you have any questions, you know, please, you know, reply to this email or tweet us at Travelocity Help
right.
or
yeah.
Facebook, whatever. If you wouldn't mind, please take this short survey. Here's a link.
So you've given them something, the recap. And
yeah,
then,
we've
yeah.
given them the recap.
Yeah.
And then we've said, please rate our service. And very, very simple questions, four questions
mm-hmm.
in that survey. It's like, it's old school Survey Monkey
sure.
type survey
yeah.
with a
yeah.
link in there. Was your issue resolved?
Yeah.
Yes or no?
Right.
Very simple. Was there anything else that we could have done better? And so that is more of it's an open-ended
yep.
question, allows
yep.
the customer to type in. What's your net promoter score? You know, what you know,
yeah.
would you recommend?
Yeah.
You know, 0 through 10.
Mm-hmm.
And then we ask them, because it's being done in a way that we can't really tie the email back to the survey response, because it's
okay.
the same link. We just say, just so that we can correlate this, we know we sent you this email, but just so we can correlate your responses to this, can you just put your email address in here?
And what sort of response rates do you get?
We actually get pretty decent response rates. It's in the range of 10 to 15%,
okay.
which isn't bad. I mean, normally yeah. we're sitting at, you know, 3 to 5%, depending
right.
on the net promoter, you know, post-trip survey, net promoter score survey, which is what we consider our... Post-trip, we actually consider it our brand net promoter score.
Okay.
And then we have channel net promoter score that we ask across various stages of the customer lifecycle.
Okay.
So we have unsolicited feedback via Opinion Lab on our website.
Right.
We have a net promoter score question there. We have a customer service survey that if a customer reached out to our tier one or tier two customer support from the call center, they get a survey, a net promoter score there.
Yeah.
Then this survey and then the post-trip. We have some things in place to where if you receive one, you may not receive the other three, you know.
That's nice.
Well, yeah, so you're not getting bombarded with like
right.
four different surveys.
Right.
If you receive, almost everybody is going to get the post-trip survey because that's brand net promoter score. We want
right.
to continue to drive volume
yeah.
there and keep significance.
Yeah.
And if you receive that, you may receive one of the other ones, but we don't cross all four of them.
Okay.
When we started asking these questions, oh, you know, the last question's actually, I guess it's five, including the email. The last question there on the post C1G interaction is, was social media your first interaction with Travelocity? And that's where we saw consistently 85 to 90%. And we're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Hold up. Smaller sample size, clearly. I mean, the sample sizes were, you know, 1,000 a month. It wasn't like 5,000 or 10,000 that we get through post-trip surveys, but we were like, wait a second here. This is way out of the ordinary, and it completely matches up with what we saw back here in our initial research. That's very telling.
Yeah.
You know, that's telling in the shift. I mean, I remember 5 years ago at a Forrester convention, I went and they said, mobile is going to be the wave of the future. And everybody's like, yay, you know. And, you know, we talked about digital, and we talked about Facebook and Twitter and support and all that. And I went back and I said, you know, maybe we can get some buy-in. Maybe. Didn't get the buy-in, but then went and took those little pieces, you know, of the things that I could control without, you know, huge executive buy-in on it, mm-hmm. just to start proving out those use cases and those business cases.
So can you give an example of some of the sorts of things that you did that you could control?
So hotel quality.
Yeah.
While you can't control if a hotel's rooms are dirty.
Right.
You can't necessarily control if it smells like smoke in your room. Mm-hmm. What you can control is the sort order. And so what we did is we said, okay, you know what? We're going to look at how can we, I don't want to say punish, but punish a specific hotel who has out of the ordinary complaints.
Right.
And out of the ordinary detractors,
right.
you know, for these specific hotels. So and so we also, not only that, we tied in the number of refunds that we had to issue because of issues like that.
Right.
So we tied in financials from number of refunds that were issued and dollar amounts that were issued in terms of refunds. What we call them is generic refunds because they're not something that the hotel would normally just authorize for. Mm-hmm. The hotel, you know, when you're talking about penalties and, you know, refunds and stuff like that, the hotel has to authorize. We don't control the inventory. We get a commission, but that's it, you know. And as much as the hotel would love to pin it on us and say it's our policy, it's not. It's the hotel's rules.
Right.
So what we had to do is say, okay, well, how many refunds did we issue on these specific hotels? How many complaints did we get?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what was the net promoter score or average net promoter score of these hotel chains? So what we started doing is we factored that all into our kind of our marketplace design. And we're building that out more and more now. Mm-hmm. The initial test, we basically just dropped everybody to the bottom of the sort when they would have those issues. They stopped getting business. And then when they asked their market manager why, then we could tell them.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Or when they said, you know, when you have a hotel, maybe 30% is brand Expedia, you know, from the various brands coming in, and they're not getting their 30% of the rooms anymore.
They feel that.
They feel it. And, you know, and they'll go into Expedia Partner Central and they'll type a email one of the things that we're starting to do now is trying to figure out how we can utilize real-time review feedback, which is something that's sent immediately. What we do is we look at the time the customer is supposed to be checking in, and we can send them an immediate email and say, how's your room? Is your room good? Is your location good?
Right.
Is your bed comfortable? Did you get the preferences that you're looking for? And then we can feed all of that information back into the marketplace.
So what happens if you do something like that and then they say, well, actually, I'm not very happy. Do you then go back to the hotel right away?
That's what we're working on right now.
Okay.
So right now we have what's called EPC, which is Expedia Partner Central.
Mm-hmm.
It's our inventory platform.
Yep.
And Expedia and you know, by nature of that, TravelocityHotels.com, we're all on the supply is Expedia Partner Central. That's for everything.
Yep.
So what we can do is we can talk to the hotels and we can send messages and we can, that's how we send confirmations. So we can talk with them. And what we're exploring right now, we have basically a year and a half to 2 years now worth of real-time reviews that we've been just building up and creating this database of this information. Now what we're trying to do is figure out, you know, one, how do we use that information in terms of, you know, providing a report card to suppliers and to the market managers on our end who kind of control those relationships. Because we have to contract with these guys every year.
Yes.
You know, so if we have some sort of ammunition, you know, to go to them and say, hey, you guys did awesome. We're going to give you, you know, we're going to lower our rates a little bit, our commission rates.
Yeah.
Or, hey, you guys did really horrible. We're going to drop you in the sort.
Right.
And you're going to be on third page. Sorry.
Yeah.
You know, those are the types of things we'd like to be able to do. We haven't quite figured out the secret sauce for that yet. We need to because we have all this data now. Right. And we have not just that data, but we have refunds data. We have the Net Promoter Score data. You know, we've been running on the same Net Promoter Score, a post-trip survey for the last, 2.5 years now.
Yeah.
That, and all of the brands are on that. And all points of sale across all countries are on that now. All asking the same questions.
Is it the organization's intention to keep all these brands as separate brands?
Yeah, absolutely. Brand differentiation is important. You know, we want the brands to flourish.
Right.
We want each brand, because each brand actually has its own customer base, its own demographic that it kind of reaches.
Right.
And they have some of its own kind of loyal customers to them.
Right.
Each brand also has its own loyalty program for the most part. Travelocity, we don't have a loyalty program. and that's the interesting thing, is that we have this loyal customer base without the benefit of a loyalty program, without the benefit of a credit card. It's been purely based off of that customer service and that legacy.
Right.
And now how do we take that to the next level, right?
Yeah.
And that's really kind of what we're doing. We're looking at how does Hotels.com leverage their loyalty program across their website? Mm-hmm. How do they communicate it? How do they market it? And we have that information because they're part of our company,
Yeah.
We can do the same thing with Expedia. Expedia Plus Rewards. That program has been kind of this evolution of a program that mm-hmm. they've been kind of developing. Well, they're marketing it everywhere. They have it all over their website. They have branded pages. What can we learn from what Expedia is doing with their loyalty program? And how can we market Customer First Guarantee in the same way?
Right.
How can we drive the same loyalty for our customers and attract new customers and attract repeat customers, utilizing kind of the same marketing placements, utilizing the same kind of idea and same investments even, how much does Expedia put into their loyalty program, right? I guarantee it's like 30 million plus a year.
Wow.
And that was, a year and a half ago what I knew of what they were putting into their loyalty program.
Wow.
So putting 30 million plus a year. Okay, great. Let's scale that down to my size now. So 4 million? 5 million?
Right.
How can I take 4 or 5 million in brand marketing dollars and invest into Customer First Guarantee? What can I do from a policy and process standpoint that makes that benefit to the customer? That gives that sense of loyalty to the customer, utilizing purely, we're going to be here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, through every possible channel for you.
Right.
And that's kind of the journey that we're on now.
Right.
The customer needs to love us.
Yeah.
They need to be in, and not because we have a loyalty program, not because we have points that you can use towards your next visit.
Right.
But because the customer knows that in their time of need, in their middle of their travel, we're going to be there, whether it's me or someone in the Philippines who's sitting on Twitter.
Right.
Somebody is going to be there for them and is going
and
to be the one
power to solve the
and
problem.
Has the power to solve the issue right now.
Right.
Because
I think that's the biggest hesitation people do have with online booking, online agencies.
Absolutely. I have a mistrust. That is exactly it. There's a mistrust of online travel agencies.
Yeah. Because there were bad experiences.
Yeah, there were, yeah, absolutely.
So MAC, what are you doing differently with those agents in terms of training or
So the one thing, our normal tier 3 agents kind of across the network are based out of Las Vegas.
Yep.
These guys are all based out of the Philippines.
Right.
The big focus that we've had is grammar and just general human interactions. Early on, I actually went to the call center. Naz and I both went to the call center the first week of launch. And what we saw, we looked at each other. We're going to fail. This is going to fail. We're going to fall flat. We're going to be fired. That's what's going to happen here.
Right.
Just the interactions, the grammar.
Right.
I mean, we were reading the emails that they were sending to customers. And we're like, oh, my God. We're in trouble,
Well, and especially because there is a real backlash in the U.S. about offshoring.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's a huge backlash on it. And I get those emails still, because, again, economy of scale, our call center, offshore,
Yeah.
And so, we have executive escalations that go to our Tier 3 team still in Las Vegas, and legal type of interactions go to Tier 3 team in Las Vegas. But we're seeing these emails, we're seeing these responses. Oh, boy, we're in trouble. So we immediately, really after 2 days of watching, we were there for a full week in the Manila. And after 2 days of watching, we pulled the service delivery manager who's on site we pulled the product manager for global customer operations escalations.
Right.
He was there on site as well with us.
Okay.
We pulled his boss on the phone.
Right.
He was back in Seattle.
Yeah.
And we said, all right, here's what's going to need to happen here. We need the quality team engaged with this team on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm.
We want testing. We want training.
Yeah.
We're going to invest, I want $50,000 worth of training, for these 23 agents that we've hired,
Wow.
We want $50,000 worth of, of grammar training, English training, writing skills, speaking skills.
Right.
We went through and we said, we want this. And they said, are you sure? We've never done anything like that. And I said, yeah, absolutely.
You were able to bring them up to
absolutely.
The right level.
We actually set a target. We set a 95% percentile target based upon weekly testing and weekly listening of calls and weekly random polls of the emails and all that. We set 95% acceptance level.
Right.
At this point, and it's taken a year almost to get there.
Yeah.
We launched this in November of 2015.
Yeah.
And it's taken almost a year to get there. But we are at 93% right
now.
And so it's not, you can't just say, okay, well, yeah, we're going to invest, we're going to do this, and then we're just going to walk away and let it sit.
Yeah.
You have to consistently get on it and watch the numbers. Every week, myself, our service delivery manager, our product owner, and my boss, Nas, we sit down and we review weekly stats with the team. We look at how many social media online issues were resolved. We look at weekly social media offline, where we had to actually take the case offline, call the customer, work with the airline.
Yeah.
Looked at those. We also handle in that particular center, because we wanted to kind of unify the experience across various touch points, any opinion lab comments that come in.
Yeah.
We have a team in India. It's a triage team that sits in India. They have a specific list of things that they look at. They're a technology team. But what they do is they triage every comment that comes in through opinion lab.
Okay.
140, 150 comments a day, generally through just opinion. Are you familiar with opinion lab? In that?
Okay. Yeah.
Our link is not visible on the page.
Oh, really?
It's actually hidden behind a customer support dropdown.
Huh.
That will not be that way very long, because we just updated code to make it to where we have the little floating persistent hover.
Yeah.
We anticipate probably 3 to 4x volume when we do that.
Mm-hmm.
But that team reviews every comment.
Yeah.
They look to see if there was a complaint about customer service, customer crying out for help, can't figure out how to do something that a customer service agent could help resolve.
Yep.
And they pass that information along real time to the same team.
Oh, cool.
So they're reviewing it every 2 hours. They're looking at the commentary and they're passing it along. And that same team that's interacting with social media is also doing opinion lab. They're also doing what we, our best price guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that best price. You find a better price anywhere else, we'll match it and give you, $50 coupon on top of it. They also do all of the best price guarantee work.
Okay.
So that they're actually at this point meeting every SLA across the board 100% that we've set for them. Minimum SLAs for social media are 30 minutes. Minimum SLAs for opinion lab are 5 hours. Minimum SLAs for best price guarantee are actually 24 hours, but they're getting into them in 15 minutes.
Hmm.
So 15 minutes from the time a customer puts through best price guarantee, they got a refund and they're getting their coupon, or they're getting a response from us. We have some ways that we have to do the refund and the coupon piece.
Right.
You don't want to refund a customer and then they cancel the reservation and get all their money back.
So
we have to wait until, but they're getting a response from us saying, Your request has been approved. Once your reservation has been stayed, you'll get your refund and you're going to get your $50 coupon dropped into your account.
Right.
So we go through that whole process and we review every single case kind of across those 4 or 5 channels to see kind of where they're at. And we're looking at, right now, they're only at 75% capacity with those agents staffed 24 hours a day at 23 agents. So we're like, what else can we add? WebRTC, what can we, let's bring that in.
So apart from language training, what else did you do to get them up to that level?
Well, they are tier 3 customer support permissions, which means they're not your standard agent on the phone.
Right.
They have worked in that capacity. They have a minimum of at least a year of working, So tier 2 has a minimum of at least a year. These guys have at least 2 years, I think, with the company overall, two to three years. We kind of set the bar high, but you can't, when you're working with an offshore, they have a lot of churn. So if you set the bar too high, you're never going to find anybody to fill the role.
Right.
But they've been working either for Travelocity or for Expedia.
Yes.
For a long period of time.
Right.
They know the policies. What we do is we send them to 6 weeks of training where they pick up on everything from how to work the old green screen systems for the airline.
Yep.
To hotel relocations, how to deal with the hotel, how to deal with the market management team. You know, we actually have tier three agents from Las Vegas who fly out to Manila and train them.
Right.
And the supervisor and management team from our Las Vegas center flies out there. We have what we call Red Hat. They're folks who sit on the floor with them during their kind of incubation period there,
right.
Who actually sit with them for 3 to 4 weeks. So we have somebody from Las Vegas flying out to the Philippines, staying in the Philippines in a 5-star resort for 4 weeks, sitting there with these agents, coaching them on every little thing. And they have all the highest permissions. They have, they're able to do whatever they need to do to make sure that the customer is taken care of within policy.
So giving that level, I'm still coming back to this issue of giving that level of permissions to everybody. It's just too expensive?
It is. It's too expensive, and there's a big risk in doing that. Keeping in mind with that particular level of permissions, I have that level of permissions, and if I wanted to, I could go in and take my credit card, and I could issue a refund, even though I didn't travel on it.
Right.
You know, it's a fraud risk.
Yes.
It's a SOX compliance issue as well.
Yeah.
So we have to kind of balance out. Because they are offshore agents, there is a real SOX concern in terms of what kind of information they can see and what they can do.
Right.
So any Tier 3 agent has access to view customer credit card information.
Mm.
It's not stored, encrypted in a Tier 3 level system.
Right.
That's why, that's one of the main reasons why we can't put it out across everybody.
Okay.
But, you know, again, the other reason is those agents do make a whole lot more than your standard agent. You know? If we were to do it onshore, that was kind of the balance. We struggled because we really wanted to do it onshore, but then customer service came back and said, okay, fine, you want to do it onshore, it's going to cost you this much.
Right.
That's way outside of our budget. And then we said, well, okay, what if we did it offshore and we had a phone number? Because the initial idea was you had a button that you could push on your mobile app
or
that you could push on, you know, the website where we would identify you as in travel. You could hit that help button. It would automatically connect you with somebody, no wait time.
Right.
Right. And customer service team, again, operations came back and said, no, we're not going to do that because we don't want just another channel of customer service. Because if customers figure that out, then they just go ahead and they just go to that channel. So let's compromise. And we're going to do offshore, and we're going to do only reachable by via this web form or via social media. And they said, all right, so you're taking your social media out of Las Vegas. You're going to save a little bit of money doing that.
Yeah.
You're going to be able to fund it with brand dollars. Okay.
Yeah.
And so that was the compromise that we had to kind of make there to be able to get it off the ground.
But
now that we've seen this, I was mentioning, you know, we made that presentation in front of Dara and Mark, and they looked at it and they said, wow, you know, you know, how can, and, you know, one, scale it in terms of our marketing and merchandising, and how can we as Travelocity use that to our advantage, whereas none of the other brands would. But number two, how do we spread it to the other brands? And we just don't market it. You know? Because we know that the customers are happier with their resolution. We know that they're happier with how everything's ended out. But if we don't market it via the other brands, then it still remains a differentiator for Travelocity.
Yeah.
So how do we do that? And so they started asking these questions. And, you know, obviously, you know, myself and Nas and John Morey, who's our SVP and GM for Brand Expedia Group, he looked at us and he's like, all right, we got to go figure out how to do this, you know. And so now we're kind of reorganizing our customer experience org.
Yeah,
I came out in, you know, 4 or 5 years ago as a customer experience manager. I was just looking at opinion line comments.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
We didn't have this huge org structure.
Right.
We didn't have, you know, I didn't have global counterparts.
Yeah.
And it's been really exciting to see kind of that progression. I mean, I would say, looking back almost 5 years ago now that I went to the Forrester Customer Experience Forum, looking back at that, I was just pumped and excited and came back and then totally got deflated. And when I looked at that, I was like, oh, man, we're never going to get there. But we are so far beyond where I even at that point could have imagined that we could get to.
Yeah.
Just considering our culture in the company, we've gotten the buy-in from the executives now. Fairly recently, an organizational change where president of Brand Expedia across the globe, not just, the U.S., Canada, Latin America, which is my group, but across the globe. He was from our technology side. He's a huge proponent of test and learn and huge proponent of, building the best technology available and then evangelizing it across the world and acquisition and all this stuff. He came on board and we talked with him about Net Promoter Score. We sat down with him and we said, this is customer experience. And I walked him through myself and one other person had actually walked him and his leadership team. We walked them through an experience, an actual customer experience. It was voice of the customer. It was a customer from the U.S., affluent executive in her organization. She had gone through some financial hardships, gotten laid off and all of this stuff, had enough money to just go on a simple vacation with her husband and their kids after all this stuff had happened. Mm-hmm. And she wrote this pretty heartfelt letter, and I read some of the letter to them, and then I walked them through her experience. Mm-hmm. I had the actual hotel that she booked. It wasn't an amazing hotel. It wasn't a 5-star. It was like a 3.5-star night, and they wanted to go to the beach, and so she books this hotel. Awesome pictures on our website, great examples of, the beach is 2 blocks away, and it's this, and it's that, and, it's this great, great example. And then the reality was that she gets there. The pictures are totally not, representative of the hotel. Mm. The 2 blocks to the beach was walking through a back alley through garbage, trying to get around dumpsters to get there. I actually got pictures. I had actually read reviews after she had sent me this. Now I went to TripAdvisor and I went to, which also used to be an Expedia company. Went to all these different places to actually pull up review information. Got these pictures. It was absolutely atrocious. I'm like, oh my God, And I thought about it and I'm like, okay, so that's her experience. I pulled up, she did fill out a post-trip survey. Mm-hmm. She also filled out a real-time review. I pulled up all that information. I actually showed them the answers that she gave. Would she recommend the hotel? No. Would she recommend Expedia? No. Would she ever book with us again? No.
No.
And I had these 3 check boxes up there just to kind of represent that. And I put nope. And the presentation title is Martin's Big Bag of Nope. And so I put it up there. I gave it to them, and I said, that's a real experience. And they're like, oh, my God, that's so insane, So, they were like, wow, that's crazy. I got them feeling very empathetic for her.
Yeah.
They said, guess what? That happens 10,000 times a week. They're like, what? So I showed them the data, behind hotel quality, and what happened, And then I started showing them the changes that we made. And the things that we were doing and in terms of being able to feed that back into the supply systems and feed that back onto the merchandising side. And they're like, wow, that's crazy. So we were able to do that just with the data that we were getting from customer feedback. And they started realizing it was that aha moment for them of realizing, this is awesome. This is working, and that's where we started getting kind of that buy-in.
Yeah.
And then we shared customer first guarantee, and then we've shared all these other small projects that we've been doing. Now Net Promoter Score is actually one of the 5 pillar metrics on Aman's scorecard now, not just Brand Expedia US, but Global Bex Group. Net Promoter Score and repeat purchase are lumped in kind of as the 2 and how they correlate together. I was talking about this morning. So now that's on an executive scorecard.
Nice.
That's something that everybody is being held accountable to.
Woo-hoo!
And so as they get held accountable to it, if you don't make these executive goals by the end of the year, and we have BHAGs as well, Big Hairy Audacious Goals, which is, grow Net Promoter Score by, 8 percentage points by the end of the year type of thing. We're almost there. Almost there. We did 5% so far. We're getting there. Got a couple more months, but you know, those types of goals, if we don't meet those tie into bonuses, mm-hmm. you know? And so we're tying, you know, that back into the organization now, which is absolutely huge.
Absolutely.
It's something that 5 years ago, like I said, would have never thought that would happen.
Wow.
And now we have, you know, back then it was me as their lone customer experience guy, global Bex.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Now we have 6 people managing Europe, global in global customer experience.
Yeah.
Myself at Travelocity, we have 1.5 people at Brand Expedia US.
Yeah.
We have 1 in Canada, 1 in Australia, New Zealand, 1 in, or 2 in Asia, Japan, and the Asian markets. And we get together 4 times a year.
Wow.
We all come together 4 times a year and prioritize.
It's exciting.
Say, this is where we're at. This is what we're doing.
Right.
You know, and these are the goals. These are the objectives for this quarter, you know.
That's so, very exciting.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I guess what really impressed me about what Martin had to say is the extent to which the organization is really investing in customer experience and has recognized that in the case of the Travelocity brand, that is the prime differentiator on which the brand was made successful and on which they want to continue making it successful. It was interesting that they even recognized that the role of that was so important in branding that quite a bit of the money for making sure they have a superb customer experience team actually came from brand marketing dollars. Very close relationship, as I've argued before. People who are on your front lines answering your phones are representing your brand. So it's worth investing in them to make sure that the experience they're providing callers is congruent with the brand experience you're trying to give people. That's all I've got for today. I'm not going to go into a big detailed recap of what was already a lengthy episode, but if you missed it and are interested in hearing what some of the other speakers at the DCX, the Digital Customer Experience Conference, had to say, just go back and check out frankreactions.com/85. And there you'll hear a pretty detailed recap from the event. I will chat with you again in a week. Bye.